Our scripture reading is taken from Matthew 22, verse 15 to 33. This is in our serial preaching from the book of Matthew. Matthew 22, verse 15. Verse 15 to 33. Then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. And they sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art true and teachest the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of man. Tell us therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? But Jesus perceived their wickedness, and said, Why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites? Show me the tribute money. And they brought unto him a penny, and he said unto them, Whose is this image and superscription? They said unto him, Caesar's. Then saith he unto them, Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. When they heard these words, they marveled, and left him and went their way. The same day came to him the Sadducees, another group of enemies and unbelievers. We say that there is no resurrection, and ask him, saying, Master, Moses said, If a man die having no children, his brother shall marry his wife, and raise up seed unto his brother. Now there were with us seven brethren, and the first, when he had married a wife, deceased, and having no issue, left his wife unto his brother. Likewise, the second also, and the third unto the seventh. And last of all, the woman died. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her. Jesus answered unto them, Ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry, nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have ye not read that which is spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And when the multitude heard this, they were astonished at his doctrine. The title of my message, Can Puny Man Outwit God? Every time we come into this house, the first thing we think of is to glorify God and to exalt our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we do not come here to show off. Well, I have written 22 times on the topic how Jesus taketh puny men in their own craftiness. And it's all from the Bible, especially in the late letter pages of the Gospels. When they come, the Pharisees especially, his bitter enemies, to challenge him. But God simply puts them in the pocket. They cannot run away. And then, today, for this sermon, I turned it around. Can puny men outwit God? They try to outwit God because they do not know that He is God, and they reject Jesus as being the Son of God. Today we find the Pharisees ganged up with the Herodians to try to entangle him in his words. And they thought of a good idea. Will ask him, is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar? This is a good idea, they said. If he says yes, the Jews who hated the Romans and were ruled by them will say that you are a traitor. If he says no, the Romans with the police there watching around. We have got him now. Jesus, knowing the trick, said, bring me a coin. Now, tell me, what is on the face of the coin? So now they stammered, it is Caesar. Render unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. Jesus paid them back in their own coin. And they were like beaten dogs with tails curled below them, quietly slinking out of the scene. Now come the Sadducees, who did not believe in the resurrection like today's modernists and liberal theologians. And they quoted Moses, that if a man marries a wife and he has no children, and when he dies, his brother, apparently younger brother, must step up to marry the sister-in-law. Now the problem they pose to Jesus is that we have got 7 brothers, all who married a woman, all who married the woman had no children. And finally, she also dies. Well, I thought when the 7th brother comes to marry the sister-in-law, he'll just be a baby. And the sister-in-law would be an old hag. How can you produce children? Whatever it be. Here is the true answer. In the resurrection, there will be no marrying like in this life. God has so appointed that we marry in this life to keep on the race. But in the resurrection, they will be like the angels of God, and the angels do not marry. So, the Sadducees were also KO'd, knocked out by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Can puny man outwit God? Now, I believe that there are so many other things in heaven that we do not know. The Bible is given to show us a way, especially to heaven. But Revelation reveals quite a lot of things to us. But I believe there are other things that are not revealed. Now, like the ignorant Sadducees who did not know this truth, there are non-Christian couples being disappointed in this life, and they are not able to marry because of their parents, then they take their lives, hoping to marry in the next world, in the underworld. And this is quite well known insofar as Japan is concerned. There is the volcanic, famous volcanic mountain Fujiyama, over 4,000 feet. And they would go there and jump down together. How sad. In order to illustrate further, have you known what is the meaning of the Taj Mahal? Do you know how it came about? It was built in the 17th century by an Indian emperor as a most exquisite tomb. It is one of the seven wonders of the old world to bury his beloved wife. She thought so much about the wife that he almost became crazy. So when he died, the people buried him in the same Taj Mahal, for him to go and see his wife in the other world. Well, as I prepare the sermon, I think of some members of the church, Christians, couples. They can't get along with one another. And so many more, revealed to me by a couple who went to Perth. They said, you think that they are very happy together, holding hands, but they are about to divorce. Whether this is true or not, you gauge for yourself. Now when they hear me say that in the resurrection there'll be no husband and wife, they might take great joy. There will be no more argument. So that's all. But praise the Lord, I have much better news about the next life. Those of us who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who are truly saved and born again, Paul says, I will commit you, espouse you as a changed version to Jesus, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2. And according to Revelation chapter 19, verse 7, we will be called the wife of the Lamb, made ready to go to the wedding feast. It is so sad why the Pharisees could not understand Jesus. They kept on arguing with Jesus. Jesus said, I am one with the Father. And they say, you blaspheme. How can you are a man and you claim to be the Son of God? And so, they even blaspheme against Jesus. The Pharisees, when he had cast out a devil, they said that he had cast out the devil by the prince of devils. And Jesus always defeats his enemy with irrefutable logic. Even Satan's kingdom and family cannot split. If I do that, then the prince of devils has been used by me. And he and the small devils are therefore split, but they are not. Jesus once again defeated them. That wonderful, we will be as the bride of Christ, the wife of the Lamb. And in the resurrection, in the days without end, for eternity, that we will live with Jesus. Not individually, but corporately, all together, we'll become the wife of the Lamb. I want to tell you from my own experience, what is the greatest joy in life? And God will give us the greatest joy when you go to heaven. The greatest joy in life is to fall in love. And afterwards, to get married. Provided it's happily married. That is another point. And Jesus shows that he loves the church. The church of Ephesus had now grown so cold. And Jesus laments that you have left your first love. But I know Jesus cannot change. Jesus is perfect. He, as a husband, loves the church. He loves us. And it will be happier and happier. Before you are married, you are very happy. Not only that, in heaven, there's not just the golden streets and a lot of harps strumming and singing only, but there is plenty of variety. And variety is the spice of life. Revelation chapter 7 tells us that they come from every nation, from every kindred, and from every tongue, from every language. How many languages are there in the world? We have the main languages, but we have all the dialects. Over, easily about 15,000 dialects there are that are translated parts of the Bible. So we'll have all of them presenting their items before our Lord, Savior Jesus Christ, and the rest of the church. And it will be so interesting, life in heaven, batch by batch of presentation of praise to God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. Well, my teacher, Dr. Boswell, when teaching us Calvin's Institutes, and he liked it so much, he said, when in heaven, I will be reading Calvin's Institutes. No, that is not a joy that is compared with what Paul tells us, that you will be presented as a chaste virgin and to become the wife of the Lamb. And he will be expanding his love on you all the time. I don't fancy that in heaven I'll be very happy with the golden streets, but I will be. You want to be involved and have plenty of active life, but all with our Savior Jesus Christ in the very center. Today we have been discussing the failure of two groups of people, the Herodians and the Pharisees, and they were defeated by the Lord. They could not in any way take advantage of him. How can puny man defeat God? How can puny man outwit God? The second group, the Sadducees, who do not believe in the resurrection like modernists today, well, they were surprised that the seven brothers, supposedly to have married one woman, one sister-in-law, will now face a world where there is no marriage again. But we will be like the angels of God. We say that we are the wife of Jehovah, not individually, but corporately. What will Jesus say in the next paragraphs? We'll consider in a serial preaching of Jesus dealing with his enemies.